This is a production of Cornell University.
January 8th, and we're calling the EA meeting to order at 12:22. Welcome back, everybody. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Are there any new additions to the agenda? Yes, David. And what about it?
I guess it's supposed to be closing.
Do
you know the new cafeteria in the campus store?
Actually, I think I did hear something about that.
My concern is, I'm just wondering what's happening to those employees and the ship that we're doing there.
And that's what I heard as well, that they were going to be shifted and there wasn't going to be any layoffs.
But then,
They're all UAW.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they're good as. There's probably some bumping that maybe happened if they have different grades going somewhere and some shuffling around, because it probably actually potentially could disrupt more than just those people there, because of how they can move people around and do stuff like that. But I didn't hear of any.
No.
We're all kind of surprised. It's so popular.
Yeah, I was very surprised too.
Yeah.
And it was a lot more affordable than the Chinese or whatever. It's a different place to eat.
Mm-hmm. I thought so too. It seemed like it was very popular. I guess we'll have to see as dining moves forward. I know that they, it seems like every time I go to the campus store, it's the new cafe is packed pretty good. Any other additions to the agenda? Okay, well then moving forward to approving the minutes.
Second.
Everybody in favor? Anybody opposed? Seeing nothing opposed, approved. Thank you very much. We do have some old business to look at. Before we move into the branding, I was wondering if we could move the new business of Hazel Hall's membership up to now, just to make sure we get to it.
Okay, let's do the old and new first, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
And then we'll read the pre-order. That's fine.
Yeah. Hazel, I did speak with her. She apologizes. She was planning on being here today, but with all the cold weather, she has been pulled into a couple of different emergencies with housing. I believe I sent out a very brief file that she had provided. Hazel is an employee who was on the assembly before for quite a while. She does oversee quite a few of our exempt staff in building care, and like 400. And I was wondering if anybody had any questions, if they felt comfortable moving ahead. Would you rather wait on voting her in until she actually can come to the meeting?
I just had a process question.
Yes.
So if she gets appointed now, she still has to run, you know, for next year?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have
depending on what vacancy.
Well, that's one is a May 14th end and one is a 2015 end.
Are they both?
And she would be the at-large, so she wouldn't have to run this year.
Oh, she wouldn't? Okay.
Because the other vacancy is non-exempt.
Uh-huh. Well, how does everybody feel? Are we good to?
I'm comfortable with voting.
Everybody's comfortable with voting? Okay. All in favor of adding? Okay. And that is really fast. Thank you very much, guys. I've known Hazel for many years, and I think she will be very beneficial to have back on the EA. Real quickly, we'll finish up the new business then with changes to the meeting space here. As of this year, we are being charged for the space. It's minimal per meeting, but it adds up. Mm-hmm. $35 a meeting.
How many meetings do you have per semester?
10.
For 3 year or semester? 10.
10 in a semester, 20.
Oh, 10. Mm-hmm.
So $700 per year.
Yeah.
So are they just changing their
January 1st?
No, I'm curious if they're
just decided to be a chargeback or say?
When I sent the list in at the end of December, I said, the bail and take them semester by semester. And she said, there's going to be a new charge here for a fee for, you know, the charges and hourly rate. Let me know if you still want to go ahead with it.
So it's $35 an hour or $35 an hour?
It works out to be $35 per hour.
So it's a different hourly charge?
I think it's $20 for the first hour and $15 for the next hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's 15.
Or 25 and 10, something like that, yeah.
So what does that mean for a budget?
Well, I hope Joe would be here, but...
I thought Joe was planning. He may still show up. But he did ask for, and we do have the most current budget. Currently, this year, we could finish out this year, I'm pretty sure, with funds to cover. But it is, when you add it up for the whole year, $700 is a pretty big hit to our budget. And we've brought this up before about the location of the meeting and the pros and cons to moving it to different places. Amy, were you able to decide, to find out anything else on some spaces that we were...
Hit or miss in Day Hall. I mean, there's so many meetings in Day Hall, it's hard to rely on. I mean, the only meeting that we couldn't get for the spring semester in here is next week, the 15th. So I have a room in Day Hall for us then. But, I mean, there's always Simpson. We've met in Simpson before. There's no charge for that. But, again, sometimes you get classes and whatever that meet in there as well. In Europe, there's a charge. I mean, almost every room you run into on campus, there's some sort of a minimal charge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess my question would be, I mean, I kind of feel like we're doing service for the university as a whole. And it just comes back to one of those things, like, why are we charging ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can understand if they were providing a service. You know, if we go to the Statler and we have food, they're providing a service. Like, mm-hmm. And they're an enterprise unit. I mean, that's their purpose. But this isn't an enterprise unit. So, I don't know. I guess it just rubs me a little bit the wrong way.
Well, I tried to play the Simpsons card as much as I could, but I don't think it's her authority to say, I can charge you or I can exempt you.
Right.
We could appeal to someone. I'm just not sure who that would be.
I mean, it might be a bigger question for you guys to just bring up with Mary just to say, you know,
mm-hmm.
Should we maybe temporarily approve for this semester that expense? Do we need to? I mean, do we have just the ability to say, let's do it? I mean, because if you look at, you know, education, personnel policy, internal operations, executive committee, I mean, there's some placeholders.
Yeah, I'm sure. We have to move money. I mean, administrative is where likely it would fall,
mm-hmm.
but I'm certain we'll have to move some money around to cover it, because the budget in administrative isn't that big, and it's really just to cover food in your living. So maybe some of the executive committee budget moves, maybe some
leftover from the president's address.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's where the email that I got from Joe, so that he's tied up, I guess, the EMBA student for.
Yeah, he has his residential session this week.
Right, so he wouldn't be here. But yeah, there's lots of ways to do it. I mean, the I think the past budget, you certainly can absorb the cost. I think, and we can move things around to make it happen. I think Tanya's point is well taken. You know, it's $700 in expense, but A, you should be having to take on, and then if you decide yes, it is. Either committees of this space or another that could be free or less than. We could probably, I mean, the rooms in the basement of Day Hall, we can book.
They're just tight with all the
people. Yeah.
I mean, that's where it used to be.
And they're very dark, right?
Yeah. Very 63 would be nice, except every Wednesday is the HR Council at the mm-hmm. same time, so we've got to change date, but that's a nice room with 63.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the new,
I got 305. Upstairs for next week in May, but it's also
so the new one that's remodeled.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's tight too.
It's gonna be tight, yeah. But we're all like each other.
We'll pull it up.
I did inquire with my director about faith in Robert Purcell, and she said that she was fine with it at no cost, but that there is that policy that you have to reach out to catering and get it approved by them as well because there's food involved. But also, it is not very convenient for anybody but me. Yes, Grace.
I was going to say, I really like this place personally. I think it's a very convenient on the bus route for everybody to get to. I wanted to know, can we just add this to our next year's budget? This is a new addition.
You can vote on that.
The budget increase.
I mean, like, as a budget increase. I mean, I just think if they because I work in hotel school, they charge it. I mean, even if I try to go out to a lot of places, there's always usually a cost for a really nice space. And I think this is a nice space. And I think if we have guests and stuff like that, there's room for other people to be in the room. And I just think trying to move into a smaller room. And also, I think, you know, I just like the window and the fact that there's a view.
I think we all can agree. We really like this space.
I mean, I think like I'll ask Mary. I think that's a fair thing to the word she can say is no, you know, or something like that. But if they say no, I think I'm okay with some budget.
I think there's a couple things from what I've been hearing. Is one is ask Mary. You know, what
I'm thinking of the
raise the question to Mary. Right. Mm-hmm. Number one. Number two. I think we should maybe speak with whomever the owner is of the space.
Yeah.
As
I believe Amy had pointed out that there we need to look at the calendar again.
Given that the request that went in for being able to eat the email list,
right,
this may be delayed.
We heard from Deb at all about that?
No.
Okay.
Hopefully it won't take long because it's an HR question. It's not a registrar. The registrar is a lot more finicky about 15 working days than the HR people are. So hopefully we can get it in a few days' time. But also the calendar still reflected the 2 weeks of voting time when we all had agreed only 1 week. So that meant that you all needed to pick which week you were going to stay. So there were still just a few hanging questions.
Okay. Do you have that calendar handy?
Second week of voting, does that help with messaging and timing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So.
The week sounds good.
Let it be known.
Okay.
Second.
What date, what exactly?
The only question is.
I did not bring it up.
It's in January, right? Is it January or February? Or March. When is it? What's the month?
February. The material available online the 20th, and then the actual voting is in February.
Right, so the 20th of January.
And the second week would fall over the February break? Because the February break encompasses Valentine's Day.
You mean the student's break?
Yeah.
Or our break? I can circulate it by email when we get back.
Okay.
Just to make sure. It says the dates of holidays on the bottom.
Okay.
Spring break dates, as well as there's a couple of holidays in there, too. So.
I know it doesn't really matter, but a lot of times I think staff will try to piggyback to student break.
In some cases, yep. Okay, so Amy, you're going to send out some emails about that. Thank you.
I had updated it.
All right.
Do you want me to give the update that I have been given as the personnel policy committee of me to take a look at the policy around non-exempt pay for people serving on the ES?
That would be great.
Because I know that kind of fits into the materials that you're looking at putting together for the election.
Yes.
So I met with Lauren Dickleby, who's in charge of policy for HR, because I just wanted to make sure that I understood. And what she did was went back, reviewed the policy, and talked to some other people just to make sure the policy still made sense as it's currently written. So basically how it's currently written is that it is up to an individual's supervisor whether or not they will allow them to serve on EA. If that person is, supervisor does approve for them to work on EA, that it is supposed to be paid time, particularly for non-exempt employees. That's very important, mm-hmm. that they do receive pay while serving on EA during what would be their normal business hours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if that person, for example, is non-exempt and decides that they want to serve on the UA, which then tends to be 4:30 on, mm-hmm. they wouldn't get paid for that time because that's not normal business hours.
Right.
Okay.
Unless that's part of their, say,
and right, unless they usually did work till 6 o'clock. So what the policy specifically says is it's during their normal business hours. So there shouldn't be any overtime racked up as a result of it. But
or adjustment to the schedule. So like that normal schedule, let's say they do work 8 to 4 or something like
mm-hmm.
that. And then they're shifting their day and arriving at 10 specifically to then go to that meeting.
Well, that would have to be pre-approved by their supervisor, but their supervisor does not need to do that. What it's saying is if they come to attend these meetings during the day or any committees that they're on that meet during the day, they need to get paid for those during their normal work hours.
Right.
Okay, so that's pretty much how the policy reads.
So how does that work for a dining person
mm-hmm.
whose normal hours?
That, well, it's good because that was one of the follow-up questions that I had, and Lauren and I talked about it. I said, well, that's kind of for dining when lunchtime is like their busiest time, and even supervisors can't get away at lunchtime for them, and that's when they meet. And she said, unfortunately, you're correct. That probably will mean that dining staff will be very limited in their ability to be able to participate on an ongoing basis on the EA, maybe on some of the subcommittees, but on the EA itself, she said that is one population that's probably going to have that challenge because mm-hmm. lunch hour is always the busiest hour except for when the students aren't here.
So I think the thing that I would love to see in the policy is, you know, dining can make a specific business need for that employee not to be able to be released during that particular time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you were an administrative employee and say the meeting is at 10 a.m., but you're responsible for being in the faculty meeting that you take minutes at 10 a.m., there's a business need that you can't participate.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to see a point in the policy where CLR wants to participate and there isn't a business reason for her not to be able to at that time, that the supervisor can't deny it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the things that is looked at is that is taking money from that department to have that person there. And if the supervisor agrees to it and to tell the department, you know, we expect you to pay regardless. If you can't make a good justification, maybe there can be an appeal process that we could look at putting in place if somebody wants to be on EA, the supervisor says. And that might be a better way to go about it, is to say if somebody has wanted to and the supervisor has denied it, then we can have an appeal process whereby, maybe we then meet with the supervisor and have the supervisor justify the reasoning
right.
behind
right.
it.
So saying,
yeah.
My supervisor said no, but it doesn't affect at all any business to the department, to my asking somebody else to do X, Y,
right.
work of mine.
So
can I get approval?
Right. So the thing to remember, though, is the policy does not specifically say that this is EA, right? The policy is it's actually under time off. It's not paid time off. It's called. So it's not actually a volunteer policy or anything. So we got to remember that it's supposed to cover other situations besides those participating on other perhaps task forces and teams that are specifically. Working towards the beneficial university business. So we can't, so that's why I say if we want to put a appeal process in, maybe we can do it through us in some way to say, if you, are interested in your supervisor, I don't know, that would be a question I think maybe you could ask Mary,
mm-hmm.
to just say, what room will we have? But I don't know that it necessarily belongs in a policy that's not supposed to be just EA, although I would say that
shared government. Or volunteer work that supports the mission of the university.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking that, you know, we continually have the problem. How many of us have sat on different committees that need to see the same 10 faces and the same lack of diversity. Not that just, you know, people from different components of campus because they can't be freed up to do those kinds of things. So we're losing out on all of this input that is important.
The diversity.
My only fear with an appeal process is some managers aren't strong enough to go through that process, and I worry about what the consequence to the employee. You know, if I challenge my supervisor with his boss, right, am I going to have any ill will, let alone opening it up to the greater university scrutinizing a decision at a management level? You know, the whole idea of, oh, well, it's costing us money. If you have an employee who's not satisfied and doesn't feel engaged in their community and is sitting at their desk, right, regardless of productivity, you know, measures, you're still going to pay them anyway, right? They can take 2 hours of personal time. They can put in for that. You're still going to pay them, right? Because labor really at Cornell is a fixed expense because there's no opportunity to trim significantly. You know, so I think that whole argument is one that people like to use, but at the end of the day, the expense when you hire someone is already expense. It's the expense, right? So I can either let them be engaged in their community and be an active member, know that they're going to go work hard for 90 minutes or 2 hours, whatever it is, and then come back and, you know, encourage them to really hustle to be proactive and productive in the day that they have. Or I can have them sit there and sulk for 90 minutes that I'm a big bad boss and I wouldn't let them go. What money would a lot of people rather spend?
Right.
And I think that we're not having those type of conversations with supervisors.
No.
We're just sort of talking about it, but it's really, you know, who are the people that are saying no, and where is the encouragement to say, here's really how you should look at it, right? Spending 90 minutes of your payroll to have somebody engaged in the community is a good investment for Cornell, for your department, and for that employee.
Right. So maybe the idea is when we do our marketing or communicating around this is to do a separate thing out to supervisors to say, and whether we do it just in our kind of general broad going out there and sending out, or whether maybe we work with getting a supervisor's list where we could send it out to say, does it benefit you and your department to have someone serve an EA from your department? And then say some of those kinds of things. Another thought, too, is, you know, trying to go from a positive reinforcement standpoint of saying what areas are currently represented in the EA and, you know, whether or not we talk with David and Mary about, in a public sort of way, praising those leaders to say, you know, geez, the vet school's got, you know,
yeah,
a few reps.
We brought that up recently, about highlighting the numbers, and then someone came out, I can't honestly remember, came out and said, no, because then we're going to be pointing our finger at a lot of them, specifically dining or some of the others, that none of their people are here. So we're focusing, yes, as you say, we're saying, oh, wonderful that college has X, Y, and Z people here. But then everyone's going to start thinking, oh, my God, did you just see that ILR have no one, you know. But we brought this up. I mean, perhaps maybe just even adding a little ticket if there are, like, a new supervisor training.
Right.
When they do that, supposedly, right? Don't
they
all have to do
that? Yeah, the new supervisor and new supervisor orientation program,
right.
They try to get them through.
Adding a blib, adding in there, saying, as a supervisor, please, you know, and maybe having guest speakers from the EA to those people at that smaller level. I think we don't necessarily at this point want to start going around and saying that college has no representation and they don't send anyone, so there's obviously a problem.
I think this is a chicken and the egg thing, too. I mean, we're talking about trying to get people to engage, but they don't even know that the assembly may exist.
Engage
so,
what? Yeah.
I think it goes hand in hand with, and I really liked your, you know, how does it benefit you as a supervisor to have your employee, but how does it benefit you to participate in the assembly at all is the message. Is, you know, to try and get that out.
Okay.
Curtis.
I know that at Cornell, some, not all positions are fixed costs, definitely the ones that are tied to grant funding. And I actually know like people who are employed who wanted to do things, and their boss made the argument, well, that's not what the grant funding salary was supposed to go to. Like, they said that your job is to do education and da 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 da, this is not an educational, so therefore Cornell needs to find other money. And so one of the ideas that I always had was when I was an undergraduate, and we had an issue that a lot of the students who were on like the student assembly were the wealthy ones, the non-work study. So we actually created a policy or a fund at the student group, which was easier, that actually paid members to be on the student assembly. And I think maybe we can, might be able to develop some kind of way like that. If there's an issue about funding, maybe we can work with HR and develop a small fund cost that we can use those funds in order to pay that. Because mostly these are non-exempt staff we're talking about here. Their hourly wage in order to be here. So it's not even coming from your department fund, and then it becomes a non-issue. And then I think, therefore, then when you're getting about the benefits and the things like that, I mean, for the exempt staff, it's not an issue because you get paid regardless. And then for the hourly staff, if people are saying, well, we just don't have the budget, so we're going to be like, there's a fund that will cover that hour time. And I mean, I wonder if we do the math, how much really would that even be?
I think we've talked about that before, and it's a question of where would that amount come from.
I mean, I think we might be even for smartly. Let's write in our budget. I think we need to sit down and see how much do we project something like that. I mean, if we're paying $35 for 700, if we say that a member costs
$1,000,
$35%
fringe,
which is $300.
Yeah, but
say, but I mean, I still think that's small.
My other question would be, because we're talking about essentially, in reality, for the most part, two EA meetings a month. They fall over the lunch time, which I'm going to assume that nobody here is going back and taking their lunch after having been here. Most people, even if they're hourly and it's a 42-minute lunch, most people take an hour. Maybe that's not truly correct, but that's been practice where I've seen. So really, you're talking 45 minutes, if you figure in travel time, every 2 weeks, it's an hour and 15 minutes a month for employees. Is that too much to ask a supervisor to potentially give off for their employees? I think we say, oh, it's either 2 hours per meeting by the time you figure in travel time, but it's really...
I mean, do we know that there's actual resistance, or is it anecdotal? Because we could engage, you know, we could have, do a survey.
I don't. When I've called Matt up, or I'm trying to get people to the committee, or I'm trying to get the CPA, and I've asked them flat out, oh, yeah, here's the information, here's the information, here's the services, and a lot of them say, I'm afraid to approach my supervisor. I've asked my supervisor in the past for either a course that I really... enjoyed this meeting or this group, and they told me no in the past, and I actually don't want to go and ask them now. Then I've had others that have gone, let me talk to my supervisor, then they come back and email me or call me to Flora, actually just at this time, you know, we're really stressed with this, I cannot do it. And that was in more than, you know, one occasion. So then at that point, we brought up what, you know, the letters, you still have gotten letters that you're supposed to give the DVD to your supervisor, please encourage, and the question of giving them the support to say it's okay to join, but nothing has changed until we got started.
And I would say in my time at VA, there have been people who have been involved and dropped out because of it being considered too much time.
Recently,
there are those of us who are sitting here right now who have gotten a lot of flack for being involved. So
even exempt members, it's not just the non-exempts, you know, because I know the comments will come up like, oh, another meeting, huh? Or what, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's some of that passive-aggressive bullying sort of like,
not so passive.
Oh, like you're out of the building again. It's like, it's work, because this is university business, and I work for the university. So, yes, I'm working, but not in my office today.
Yeah. And I would imagine that if you went around and talked to the people, I mean, I don't think there's anyone who's sitting here who probably isn't doing a good job of their job and doing their job more than what's required of them. I mean, I've been with most
people in this room for a long time, and I think we all work really hard and really care. And I think the people who want to be involved in, on the EA are of that same mindset and probably are good star performers and aren't going to let the organization down, and I think we just need to find a way to get the supervisors to trust in that.
Well, maybe not. Maybe it's more of a sense of making it a team effort, you know, like get your supervisory nomination even or encouragement, supervisors that have these platforms as we brought up even in the career development is that it's how to keep those star developers interested, how to stimulate them further, how to make you as a supervisor look good is let's have a team application, you know, this supervisor is asking, telling, let's use those skills that I know I have as you working for me and with me to then also get them on any sort of shared governance or committee. I don't think that's been done. Whenever I first said first the individual, I have brought up when we sat here, oh, PR, perhaps go and talk to their supervisor. Remember we brought that up as well, and I said, well, I didn't want to go that sidestep because the individual already has voiced concerns, so perhaps it's a little bit worse if I went to the supervisor to say something.
But if the in the DDD letter from Mary,
yeah,
or from David said, you know, hey, make this, you know, that if you have a star employee or somebody that you see has leadership capabilities or is involved in community things, you identify them and then find some way to, whether it's a recognition thing or a perk for the supervisor or some way at an administrative level for them to benefit as well, then everybody's happy.
That's what is left. As you said, we need to find some sort of little carrot to get either and both, I think, the supervisor and as well the employees to be happy to take.
I agree. I agree strongly. And so Linda's report kind of led us into, we're already kind of talking, I believe, in some of our marketing and branding ideas. but how do we, you know, start to take action on those? So the letter from Mary, do we have a timeline on?
I haven't been in touch with her this week. When I get back to the office, I'll find out where it is. In the but I think actually that it was based on sort of a very general, how letters have been in the past. And I think what we're talking about is something very different. And perhaps even a conversation with Mary. What is the carrot? What is the incentive for the supervisor? Identify that. I mean, we all get the 5-year letters of, you know, you've been here your terms of service, and it's a big deal. We go out and you have a lunch and whatever, or you get a handshake. Something, whatever, I mean, but whatever it is. But it's significant to the university. Well, a bag of potato chips. An attaboy.
Here's your certificate.
But that's, even that's good to know. That, you know, there are ways to recognize the staff, and there should be some modicum of how that's happening, you know. You shouldn't get it a year later. It should be a big deal.
It does. One day makes a difference. It's really bizarre.
So looking at the calendar, you are scheduled to be out. And thank you very much for scheduling your friend's wedding around our meeting today.
Well, and the wedding is the weekend. I just, the travel is what's tricky. So, and I'd be available even for the phone call. But, so I can be available because this needs to happen. There's a timeliness to making sure that we coincide with the
calendar. The election calendar, that's right. What I was getting at.
So, if it's a, I don't know, Bridget, if it's a conversation or an email to Mary, or I'm not quite sure at this point. The best way to have the conversation most expeditiously, to expediently, to figure it out. You know, we have this. There's a great divide. We want to engage, but there's, you know, how do we? Pilar, you said it exactly right. That's what's missing. Are there ideas? Can we offer some ideas? If it's a certificate, if it's is there maybe at the one of the already the staff gatherings, maybe a special recognition for the supervisors that did have their you know, their staff participate.
There's a good idea.
Public recognition.
Yeah.
So in the past, Amy, when we have the end of the year recognition little gathering, that's when the assembly has
the assembly dress reception. Yep.
That's just for the assembly members.
For voting members and the employee elected trustees, student elected trustee. I invite usually all the vice presidents that come. Like Mary gets invited.
Sure.
Susan Murphy gets invited.
Yeah, maybe include
supervisors.
I'm wondering. It's difficult. I mean, when that came up last year, I was told that it wasn't really a meeting, and I couldn't attend. I was a little taken back, and so I did negotiate rearranging my lunch break so I could
really?
Go.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, really. Yes, just like Saturday Night Live says. Really?
Really?
So, this is just some of the, you know, it's difficult.
But if that's the I mean, if the pervasive attitude is that it, you know, you've got to work really hard to try and participate, then we need to think. I mean,
well,
it's not as easy as, hey, there's an assembly, come join, because...
No, it isn't.
Well, that's sort of the whole...
Far from that. Yeah.
That's sort of my whole question, you know, sort of when we started talking, walking to the bus stop that one day of, you know, how do we message what it is that we're doing? How do we, you know, because I think personally we have to change the opinion or the perception of the assembly before we can encourage participation.
Right.
Because we're asking for volunteers, but what do they do?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that we don't do anything, but I'm just sort of playing devil's advocate, challenging with those questions of, you know, hey, we want you to get on a committee, but there's maybe nothing for that committee to tackle.
Yeah.
You know, so how can we position ourselves in a way to really show light to some of the great things that we do?
Yeah.
Sure, there's some things that our assembly could do better, I'm sure, right? Every assembly has, every work group, everybody has something that we can improve on. So I think, you know, my idea or thought in my head as I think about branding is how can we sort of re-image the community around, you know, what we're doing. And it being an assembly like the, you know, the Faculty Senate, or, you know, you look at the Student Assembly, and I mean, they're visible because they're active, right? They're heavy resolution, they heavy legislate, they boom, 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 they get into everything, they make a big deal about it, and the sun loves them. So they have an easy time.
Mm-hmm.
Ours is a little bit different because we have different needs, we have different ways to approach things. So how do we change that, or how do we take what we're doing already and enhance it so that people are aware of it?
Well, it's in a way that we almost have to justify, because as you said and as you were told not to go, if it really works, because you're going to go just meet and eat. So if you're going to go just meet and talk, then I don't want to pay you, I don't need to have you taken up, you know, time away from your work. If we're then going to image that, reclassify it, and justify it, then we need to have the bullets and the descriptions as to exactly what is going on. Because if we don't have that, they're still going to continue to think that it is just to sit, sat, and have a meal, and that's it. So with anything that we want to push and have the, you know, Scorton and Opperman accept it and say that it's part of the work ethic and what the movement and the mission of Cornell, then we have to say what we're doing to achieve them. Without that, supervisors are still going to look at you and go, I don't want to pay for my person and go off 3 hours a month, perhaps, to a committee and an assembly.
And I agree with you. I think that the caveat I would put is the story that does that best are the stories.
Mm-hmm.
What have we done? What has the EA done that affects the supervisors, their staff, the administration? I mean, it's activity, as you know, as Greg was saying, that the students, they're into everything. I mean, I think they were up to just at the end of the semester, resolution 13. You know?
Oh no!
Oh, like 17, like they're crazy.
Yeah. But there's so looking internally, what, you know, what are the policies that have changed as a result of this body? And you know, people may not even know. So those are the stories. Find the people that affect, because that's engagement. Yeah. That's, wow, I had no idea if that hadn't happened.
I definitely like that. I don't think that necessarily we need to really go out, because I still think that we still have a lot of good information from the employee survey.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I hear a lot now is that, you know, I still see people like the EA did the employee survey, and they're like, well, now we hear nothing from it. It was a good start, and I think we as the EA did a really great job pushing people and creating the subgroups. I think we got the results. Some of them were really positive, some of them weren't so much, but I think that we should go back to some of those things and re-push and look at things too, and really hype that thing up, because I think what we have another 2 years
now. Yeah.
So I mean, it's really soon before we do the next survey, and I mean, we're having this whole new board come on with the election. I mean, I don't think we want to recreate the room, but if we can keep them motivated by the employee engagement survey, what good results come from that? That might be a great way to keep on building in more of that involvement.
We'll have one in January, I'm pretty sure. Yep. Yeah.
If I may ask, just while I think I will redraft the DDD letter, if I could ask everybody who has, the bullet points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Greg said, so these are the things that we've done. These are the reasons why it's good for you to mm-hmm. allow any ideas. I just you all know, and everybody has great ideas. If you could just send those in an email, that will help craft the letter that has those particulars in it, and we can start telling the stories. And if you know somebody that, Pilar, you were talking that this whole effort of trying to engage in a new assembly is because people came to you.
Yeah.
People. Faces tell stories in ways that we can't.
I mean, that's why we do the profiles that we do on the carpet, and that's where, you give those points, you give those bullets, and I did get a couple emails back after my profile going, oh, wow, great, yeah, I saw it. Great, you want to join a committee? You want to do something? Oh, they're not really just getting posted.
Yeah.
Well, and I think part of the problem, too, is we've all been stretched so thin.
Sure.
And I know that I myself was asked to write an article for the Paw Print in the fall, and I was so overwhelmed and swamped, I just didn't get to it.
Sure.
And so that's a downfall that I have to own up to, and that's something that needs improvement.
But again, that's what it is, I can help with that. I mean, we can partner in the same way. Send ideas. I can at least craft mm-hmm. the draft and send it to you. It can still come from you. But to use even the Chronicle space, we're trying to look at the Chronicle space a little differently. Instead of just, these assemblies met, this is, they
mm-hmm.
met in A. But to actually, give it some substance. Make it relevant to the different constituencies.
Mm-hmm.
We just write, like 2 days before the Christmas break, released the student assembly used the honeycomb as a template to send out their newsletter. We have that capability now to use that for this assembly as well. It's professional. It looks great. It's a way to really create a nice messaging vehicle. And we have some resources. Even just looking at the budget, we've got a communications budget that I think we can. Certainly when Joe's back,
mm-hmm.
look at that. And if we need to really hire a graphic designer to help us brand, but come out with some ideas. There's a very creative, as stressed as everybody is here around the table, you're here because you're passionate about it. So in the most least time-invasive way, even if you just send those ideas in a quick email or a text
mm-hmm.
or something, we can compile those in the office and at least start building a an idea board, and that'll be the great beginning.
Right.
For some of this stuff, we just need to move on it more quickly than others, so that we can get these letters out. So that's why I think, again, just send me what you have while we're talking about it now, even this afternoon or tomorrow, so that I can redraft.
Mm-hmm.
I think the letter for Mary to look at. And that may just be the opportunity to talk about, we just need to find a way to engage supervisors, and she may know. But,
I did
about
for the
it.
First time, actually. I always look at the event for Cornell, I saw in the EA meetings, and I'm like, oh, that's nice. It was popping up on the main website.
Yep.
So that's something I certainly had not
Must
seen
been
before.
Must have been a very quiet event.
Must have needed content, right?
Must have needed content. I mean, that's great.
I think also, getting the word out, too. I mean, currently right now, I know my focus this semester, I felt, would be, looking at the improving, career opportunities for internal staff, and we're trying to pull together some information and get some momentum going there. And, do we reach out to the Daily Sun and say, the EA is looking for your input on this. Tell us your story, because maybe there are, some really good stories out there, and I think that's going to grab someone's attention if the Daily Sun starts running some stories from staff members who feel like they haven't been able to.
And I think that's, how do we position ourselves to use the different outlets? One of the things that I would like us to think about, and maybe Gina, you can help us with this, with your experience, but is, because when's the term up for, or when do the new members that get elected start?
June 1st.
June 1st. Okay, so we have, 6 months. What I would really like to see personally, my desire in that 6 month period is by the time a new EA comes in, they have a 24 month plan of attack of here's what everybody who was here at the table put in place so that it's really easy for you guys to follow, and maybe there's a refreshed look, there's some template materials that we stick with so that we create this identity, not that the identity we have is bad, but is there ways we can, give it a haircut, maybe a little bit of makeup, make it, a little bit prettier than it is, a little refresh. So I think that's really what over the next, 5 months, I would personally like to see, is maybe we carve 30 minutes out of each meeting. We have, maybe Gina, you can help facilitate some of that and some clear objectives or whomever it is, if there's somebody from the outside that, whatever. But just really go through and methodically sort of look at what's the identity, what's our goal, capture some of that, and maybe this is the wrong order, what it is we want to message, when we want to message, how do we want to message, maybe who are some key people in the Cornell community that can become champions. You hear Q on the radio talking about why he gives United Way.
Yep.
Maybe it's good for Q to do a 10-second little vignette on why it's good for facility staff to be a part of the EA, or David to send out a video message to the employees. Those sorts of activities where I think is money really well spent to capture that while we can would be my goal, and I'd like to see some sort of plan or strategy put together from that.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like some tangibles that we can give to someone new. What are going to be our goals? What am I supposed to be working for? What is something that I need to achieve and what I can report to back to my department and or colleagues before I join? I don't think we have that right now very tangible. I mean, obviously some people can give more, do more, do less, but we need to have more structure as far as what is expected. If we don't have that, then it will just become a lunch.
Yeah, I think we have to look at ourselves first, then look at how we message ourselves to the community. Then maybe, okay, is there a disconnect there? Does the community want to hear something different than what we're messaging? So I think there's a lot of tough questions that are going to take a lot of time, and I think if we don't start now, we're going to come June 1st. There's going to be several different faces or different makeup, and it's going to be another 12, 18 months before that group feels comfortable having the difficult discussions that we, I think, need to have at this point in time.
What would help me as a member is to have some kind of an agenda that these are points that from various parts of the campus have come up, and this is the order, sort of like they do in the Congress, is these are the points we're going to hit during the next 12 months. Here's the order we're going to hit them in, and then we can just knock them off the list of stuff, the to-do list, and we can publicize that through the communications committee. Yeah. Here's our agenda. If you have input or concerns about these topics, we're going to be talking about
them. Thank you, Tanya.
Bye, Tanya. And come up with And that way, we, with the new members, we can say, here's what's coming up.
Right. Yeah.
You know, bone up on these ideas. You know, go to your people and say, here's, next week we're going to be talking about this, blah, blah, blah. And what I do after each of our meetings is I have a weekly staff meeting with the people at Bailey Hall, is I cover what we've done in our EA meeting. My supervisor is a part of that. And I think then you can say, see what we've done?
Yeah.
Without my participation, we wouldn't have had these results.
Yeah, I do that.
Well, we're running close to the end of the meeting now. Shall we then plan on next meeting on working on some of those ideas of getting a list going for the semester, maybe between?
And I would throw out, I mean, I don't know if anybody has any sort of guides or, you know, prompting questions or, you know, what's the order and what do you ask? You know what I mean? Like, what's the logic that we follow for this process?
Are you talking about just sort of the self-identity? What are our own internal objectives?
Well,
I think you go back to your charter, but we could certainly, I can find some vehicles that might help for a conversation.
Yeah, I mean, maybe too, if it's something that we could post questions, we have some quiet time, we all, because I know there's probably a few of us that maybe talk more than others. And I think I think in fairness to that process, maybe it's good to sort of throw out a question, have folks make some notes, run around the room in a, you know, 5-10 minutes so everybody's voice is heard and capture that.
Well, at the meeting, actually, if you want to do a more formal, there are some great processes that involve, you know, whiteboard paper and markers and that kind of thing. And I'd be happy to facilitate or find somebody. I have a colleague who's excellent at that.
Actually, I was just going to say, years ago, the EA's gotten out of this now, but when I first started and for many years, the EA would have a retreat in the summer to get a hold of what they wanted to do through the year. And in January, have like one of the January meetings would be, instead of an hour and a half, it would be 3 hours. And it would be a halfway checkpoint. How are we doing on all these things we said we were going to do? And it was Jim Sheridan from Organizational Development, who was great. He comes, he brings his markers and his sticky pads, and he you throw the ideas at him, and he just somehow regurgitates it into this organized sort of thing. And I mean, he does a really good job.
Can we see if we can do that for next?
Getting structure is critical, because otherwise we'll tark ourselves out of
I love protocol.
Results.
Protocol is good, and as you say, you got to bring some people out, and if they don't know they need to be brought out, then it ends up some of us are talking on and on. So we need to. I know that.
I'm sorry,
no, but it's good to hear from some. You know, that we don't, and we need to get that out of them. So.
The problem is, in an hour and 15 minutes, you're not going to get much through him. So I don't know if you want to maybe think about. February, having one of the meetings be a little longer.
Better to wait a little bit.
Because we'll probably not get everyone anyway.
Yeah.
We've got an incredibly busy calendar.
All right.
Yeah, and I think if we can spend some time self-searching, coming to some self-realization moments on our own for a little bit, you know, maybe a second meeting in February, you know, that gives us, what, 2 more meetings to
organize.
And I think we clear our agenda and just say, let's focus on this, because I mean that is real work for the EA to do, and that's so much better than, you know, any bus route problem or parking issue or time leave. You know, to really solidify an identity and a brand, so that all of those things as they come later are so much more easily addressed and easily communicated. It's really, you know, we've built our house on sand, and we need to rebuild our foundation.
Alrighty. I have one really quick thing. One real quick thing from Linda before we adjourn.
I don't know if you guys saw that Faculty Senate had passed the resolution regarding divesting from the top 20 oil and fossil fuel companies over the course of the next, I don't know, 10 years, and as well as moving up the climate neutrality. So I wanted to put it out there because I was at the Faculty Senate meeting. Because I was approached after the meeting with the group who had put that together for the faculty, saying they were interested in working with EA and on us possibly putting a resolution together. So I just wanted to put it out there to you, because I said, well, call me and we'll talk a little bit more, because there was one thing that was said at the meeting that was just an idea thrown out that concerned me a little bit about accountability for individuals and for individuals who drove into work, potentially passive, where the bulk of the people who drive the longest distance into work at this point in time are staff who are not paid well. So it was just an idea, but if it comes up, I'm going to be like, but I just wanted to put it out there to let you know that that was said and that I'm on it, and I will keep you guys very, very apprised on what's going on with that, but it's definitely heating up.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. It's also in the student assemblies going to probably have their own resolution on that.
Yep.
They've been very active, and we're sort of...
It's the GCFA that, I think it was the one of the co-chairs or the chair of the GCFA that was there who approached me and
said...
This
could be a whole...
Yeah, so this is becoming a big thing, and that's why I wanted to give you guys the heads up. And as soon as I hear any more, I'll let you know exactly what's going on.
Did David and the trustees say essentially no?
To the students, they did,
yeah.
And I think. But the faculty resolution was
much more thoughtful,
much
more realistic,
broader in scope. It addressed the main issues that the president brought forth. Were if we cut our funding, the companies that are developing the most green energy sources are the ones that we're trying to divest from. But right now, they need the funding so that they can continue the research. But the faculty resolution is very long term, and it has periodic percentage. It's sort of a gradual
ramp down, roll back.
And the students was kind of like anyone involved with fossil fuel, where they're really focusing on the top 20.
Right.
Do you have a copy of
the
resolution from Sacramento?
I do.
Yeah,
we can send that.
Can share
that
with
and it was in the Chronicle, I think. It was a very it's passed by one more vote than they needed to pass.
Yeah.
It was a very interesting conversation, and
sure,
all different kinds of atmosphere, scientists and policy. So those questions coming up and arguing their points, but I don't think anyone disagreed with it. It was just whether they thought that resolution was going to have impact.
And right.
That's why people voted no.
Thank you.
So
thank
more
you
to come.
Thank you, Mr. Carey.
Sorry, do you have a question?
In August, that was the.
Was that in the district center?
That was at the Chamber of Commerce down by Stewart Park.
Yeah.
It's $300 for the room.
And also Soup and Hope. Did anybody put in their calendar?
When is it?
The 30th.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else is going to be available. We have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.